Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 13th of July 2025. We read a short scripture starting from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and I'm just going to read verse 28 to 30. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4, 28 to 30. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We once again express gratitude for it. We pray that your word will not return void, and that in our minds and in our hearts, it will produce wonderful fruit for your kingdom, so that your kingdom on this earth might advance. That is our prayer, in the wonderful name of Yeshua. The title of this message is, There is a Way. There is a way. It is reported that as the Titanic was sinking in that icy cold North Atlantic Sea, people all around holding on to lifeboats, etc., many drowning, there was a man that was holding on to driftwood and was shouting to everybody, "Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord." I assume that he was referring to the scripture which says, all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm sure in a situation like that, that's probably the best advice one could possibly give anybody. But of course, rather don't wait until you're on a sinking ship before we call on the name of the Lord. The time to call on his name, of course, is right now. But be that as it may, the point is, even in that dire situation, there was a way out. Even for those who were drowning, there was a way out. If we call on the name of the Lord, the word says we will be saved, and those spirits would have left those bodies as they drowned and gone to heaven for eternity. But the point here is that no matter what the situation is, there is a way out. Throughout the Bible, we see instances of God's people placed in impossible situations. And in all of them, God delivers them. Here's a case in point. The Lord was busy preaching, speaking about himself, coming to the earth sent by God, and accusing these people who had seen great signs and wonders and miracles for their stubborn hearts. Well, of course, the message didn't go down too well, and the people in the synagogue got mad. So mad that they decided to kill him. Of course, it was the devil stirring them up. Now, remember, in a synagogue, there had to be at least 10 people. But I'm sure on this occasion, there were far more than 10 people. Because as we know, wherever the Lord went, people sought him out. So we can assume that this is a sizable crowd, and they are all filled with rage. And I can tell you from experience that when you and I are in the midst of a crowd, it's a terrible feeling because you lose control. That mob determines where you will go, and you lose your will, in a sense. However, on this occasion, they had decided that they wanted to get rid of this troublemaker, and all these people took him out and took him to the top of a hill behind which there was a cliff. And they wanted to throw him down, have done with him, and get on with their lives. In the natural, when faced with overwhelming odds like that, it's almost impossible to escape. However, the Bible simply says that he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. How that passing through took place, we don't know, but it was obviously a supernatural event. My point is this, that you and I, no matter what situation we face, no matter how impossible that which is against us seems to be to overcome, despite all odds, with God on our side, there is always a way through. There is always a way through. The examples in the Bible are many. Clear example is Israel at the Red Sea, ocean, mountain, enemy, no way out. In the natural, no way out. We've been through the scripture many times, but the point is that even though there seemed to be, in the natural, no possible way out, God had a way. God always has a way. Now, the point of this message is for you and I to grasp this. My prayer is that our faith will rise up and grasp this truth. No matter what you and I are facing, be it a physical condition, be it a financial predicament, be it a relationship predicament, be it any predicament, whatever we are facing, from God's perspective, there is always a way out. If you and I hope to be delivered from our situation, we need to grasp that. We need to realize that God is on our side and there is a way through. Now, we often torture the difference between truth and wisdom. But just to refresh our memories, truth in its final analysis is what God thinks. In any situation, every situation, if you and I want to know the truth, we have to find out what God thinks about it. That is the definition of truth. He is the God of truth. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, will show us the truth. It's a whole teaching in itself how to find out the truth. But in this situation, when you and I face a difficult obstacle, maybe a life-threatening sickness, maybe financial ruin, maybe family devastation, whatever it is that you and I are facing, and most people on this earth face crises at one stage or another, especially with the condition of the world being as it is right now. But the truth is, God is saying that there is a way through. We've got to grasp that. However, my point is, the process does not stop there. You see, truth is one thing. Wisdom, on the other hand, is another. And you see, wisdom is, very simply stated, applying truth God's way. You and I might very well know the truth. Those people floundering around in the North Sea, facing death, might very well have heard that preacher shouting, "Call on the name of the Lord." They might have known the truth. However, truth is of no use to you or I unless we act on it. A, and B, we must act on it the right way, God's way. So you see, let's put this all together. You and I, when we are facing difficulties of whatever sort, big or small, life-threatening or otherwise, we have to grasp this fact. God has a way through. God has a way through for us. However, just knowing that is not enough. The next step in this whole equation is very simply realizing that God has a way, but also understanding that on this occasion, the way through is possibly unique. You see, we all face situations, and because Moses raised his staff to the Red Sea and it parted, does not mean that we need to go to the bank and raise the broomstick and expect our debt to part. Because somebody else went to a great evangelist and got their healing, that does not mean that you and I have to find a great evangelist to go and get our healing. The point is this, when you and I face difficulties, there is a way through. However, That way through is tailor-made for that situation in the heart of God. And this makes a big difference in you and my life when facing difficulties. You see, many a person might say, I'm in trouble, and cry out to God, and moan, and wail, and complain, and say, woe is me, I'm undone. Oh God, rescue me. And it's good to go to the Lord with our problems, yes. However, if we understand that God already has the answer, what we should be doing, what we should be occupying most of our time with, is trying to find out what He wants us to do, what it is that we have to do about it. The Lord on this occasion, stuck on that hilltop, about to be thrown down the cliff, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just crept through, supernaturally. That was the way on that occasion. But you see, that wasn't the way through every situation. Another occasion, as we know, when he was being had up with the woman caught in adultery, they tried to trap him. The way through wasn't just to pack his bags and run through the midst and run away. No, he needed wisdom from God what to do in that situation, knelt on the ground, wrote in the sand, got the wisdom, and passed through. Now, we need to grasp something here. You see, what stops us from doing the right thing at the right time so often is we have a specific mindset. So often we think, well, God delivered me in a situation like this on that occasion in that way, so I'm waiting for him to do the same thing now. And we wonder why nothing happens. I did an interesting study the other morning when, in my quiet time, I was reading Psalm 24. First one says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and the people that dwell therein. I wondered what the difference was between earth and world. And there are two different words that they cover. But the interesting thing is that the word, which is translated here as world, is a word in the Hebrew that's related to a word which means to flow. And the reason the earth is referred to with this root understanding is because the earth is a large percentage water. It's fluid. Now, in a way, we realize that nature operates because situations are fluid. They change. Because temperatures change, weather changes, rain forms, ocean currents come and go, tides go in, go out, the earth turns on its axis. There's always movement. The whole issue is that the world system is fluid. And our success demands that you and I be flexible. That's the problem with Christianity when it becomes entrenched. Our relationship with God can so easily become according to a pattern, a fixed pattern, legalism. That was the problem with the Jewish people when Christ visited the earth. And the point is that if we get into a system where we are stuck in a bondage of legalism, static in a way, we begin to atrophy. We say things like, well, we've always done it this way. And when a problem comes our way, we think, oh, well, let's just carry on doing what we've always done and wonder why the situation doesn't work out. I believe the Lord is saying to us that if you and I want to succeed in the challenges that we face on a daily basis, be they big or small, one of the keys to successfully negotiating every difficulty is to be fluid, be flexible, be ready to change. I had an experience the other day which explains this or illustrates this slightly. I was busy with a building project which involved getting wood and supplies, and I went off to the place where I normally get my supplies, and I needed some wood and I needed it to be cut. On the way there, I passed another hardware retailer that's new on the block, so to speak. It crossed my mind that maybe I should just stop in there and find out what they had to offer. But my thinking was, Let me rather go where I know how the system works. I can just go and get what I know they've got. I know the prices. I know what to expect. And I'll be home within 2 hours or so. When I arrived at the first retail, I got there and I went to the counter and I said, please, I'd like to get some wood cut. Only to be told, sorry, we can't help you. We're fully booked and you'll have to come back in a day or two. And they weren't very polite about it, I might say. I thought for a minute, do I want to delay my project by another 2 days? And I just said, no, I'll just think about it. What came to my mind is, well, let me go and try this other place that I'd passed by. I went there. Lo and behold, they had exactly what I needed. Some of it was cheaper. I had friendly service and I managed to get everything done and get home in time. Now, my point is this. I could have so easily said, well, this is where I normally get my stuff, so I'll come back in 2 days' time and lived with it. But I felt that God had said to me, this is an obstacle. There's no need getting upset. I've got something better for you. And that's very often the case. When you and I experience difficulties, a door won't open. Very often, it's because God's got a better door. However, for us to find that other door, we have to be flexible. We have to be open to change. I think of Paul the Apostle. They had set their course to go through the outskirts of Asia Minor and go back to Antioch, as they had done on their previous journeys. However, God stopped them. They were prevented. Where they wanted to go, they couldn't go. And eventually, as we know, the door opened for them to go to Philippi. Do you know that one decision that they made affected the course of history? Philippi was the first church to be established in Europe. And Western Europe, for a great part of the world's history, has been the bulwark for Christianity. All starting through one apostle being prevented from going somewhere else. My point is this. You and I in this life will face difficulties. But the right response is not to say, oh well, it's impossible. Let me pack my bags and go home. Not at all. Nor is the right response to wail and moan and cry out to God for deliverance, to weep and to wail. The right response is to ask, Father God, this is the situation. What must I do now? What must I do now? Bemoaning our fate is, in a way, a waste of time. And if you listen to the voice of the Lord, on many occasions, when people found themselves in that position, his attitude was never, oh, shame, you poor thing, you. It was always, well, what have you got? What's that in your hand? I think of the disciples when he tells them to feed everybody. And they're thinking as well, how do we do that? It's impossible. What is his response? Well, what do we have? What have we got? Very often, when you and I face difficulties, the question we should ask ourselves is not, oh me, oh my, will I survive? But rather, well, this is the situation. What have I got? What can I do? What can I do? And very often, you see, what you can do leads to something else. And God is able to guide us through that situation. There are two young missionaries, I think it was in Indonesia, somewhere in that part of the world where there are many islands, and they were on an island, and God placed in their heart that they must start a Bible school. They were, to all intents and purposes, penniless, but they felt in their spirit that they must start a Bible school. So they decided between themselves, well, God said we must get a Bible school going. What can we do? They put enough money together to fly to the next island on the way to the main city, hopefully to get some support. They arrived at this other island There in the airport, they met somebody from America who was out in the Far East wanting to donate money, a vast sum of money, to guess what? Start a Bible college. And one thing led to another. The point is this, if they had stayed on the island and said, oh God, you told us to start a Bible college, we're just waiting for you to do it, it would never have happened. God had a way through for them, but they had to do their part. And so, in this short message, I just want to encourage us. Very often, difficulties come our way, and in a way, we need to rejoice in that situation, not bemoan our fate. With this understanding, A, there is a way through. We must grasp that in our spirit. There is a way through. Somehow, there is a way through. That's the first thing to realize. This isn't a case of hit and miss. We might make it, we might not. If we have that attitude, we must pack our bags and go home and start again. You can go through. However, we can't just stay with that one revelation. We need to move on to this understanding that there is a specific way through that God has in his mind for me here and now. And my job is to devote my attention. Our job is to devote our attention to finding out what that next step is. We must find out what the next step is. And very often, that next step will open the door to possibly a whole new world that we never ever considered. God is the master builder. He sees the end from the beginning. He's in control of the universe. You and I are his instruments. We need to place ourselves in his hands and say, Father God, what do you want to do with me? What can I do for you? With that attitude, God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, is able to open doors we never knew existed, is able to help us go safely across to the other side and look back at our challenges and say, surely, God has made a way where there seems to be no way. Be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.